One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And as they were sailing, he fell asleep.
Where is your faith?
Don't you wish he could do that at the family Christmas party? You know, all of us have stress this time of year. And remember last week we talked about the book of Isaiah and 700 years before Jesus was born. We read a scripture, but I want to focus on three words in that scripture this morning. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says this: "For a child will be born to us." Remember, Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Christ was born. Born to us, "a son will be given, and his name will be called Prince of Peace." The very first Christmas, do you remember the angels appeared to the shepherds saying this? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men." Isaiah announces this, the angels proclaim this, and right before Jesus goes back into heaven, he says these words: "I am giving you the gift of peace, the kind of peace that only I can give." One of the biggest blessings that we could be given is peace. I don't just mean the absence of war. Obviously, none of us likes that. But peace in our soul. Not fragile, sometimes even phony, but especially this time of year, we need peace. And when we think about Advent, the Christmas season, when I think about peace, if you could summarize in all of the Bibles, what does peace look like? I think you could put it in three categories. If you were to just look at all the scriptures on peace in the Bible, I think that they pretty much could fall into three categories. And the first one is this, and you probably already guessed, is peace with God. Peace with God is spiritual peace. This is important because it affects everything else. Jesus came to restore for you and me peace with God. And it's important if you plan to go to heaven. In Romans, the author writes this: "He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God." You see, peace from God doesn't come from what we do. And this week I spent quite a bit of time looking at what the internet says, how to find peace. There was Tiny Buddha, there was Oprah, there were all of these things that could kind of help you find peace. And they're all about doing something. But I'm not talking about doing something. I'm talking about something that's already been done. And that's Christ dying for you and for me. Peace comes from what Jesus did on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, it says this: therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Sometimes I'm going to make an assumption that you're not a nice person. Now, don't you like your pastor saying that to you? But sometimes I'm not a nice person. And let's say if your entire life you were a nice person, it still is not going to get you peace that comes from God. Jesus died for you and me, and that's the first place we need to find peace. By the way, remember when the wise men came and they came to Jesus in Bethlehem and they brought him gold? By the way, gold hit like an all-time high this week. If you've made a lot of money on gold, good for you. Remember to tithe. Okay, let's keep going. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought these to a newborn baby. That's not exactly what you give a baby. Why would you give baby myrrh? Have you ever thought about that? Myrrh is an embalming spice that represents death. Do you know why they gave that? It's used in burial. They were saying that this baby, how precious, and we celebrate Christmas, was born to die. The Son of God for you and for me. So once you understand, if you were to study the scriptures, that peace with God is first. The second is peace within. I wrote it like this: emotional peace, peace for the soul. It's called the peace of God. Listen to this real close. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you have peace with God. When you follow Jesus as your Lord, you have the peace of God. That makes a huge difference in people's lives. I've been a pastor for 38 years or more, really. And I've, over the years, been a part of some of the most wonderful experiences. By the way, last night was fun. We went to the Nutcracker, and Jen leads in a bunch of her and others, and a bunch of people in the church were part of it. It was just a wonderful time. And I've been part of all kinds of wonderful times, and then I've also been part of rough times. What an honor to be a pastor and to be able to be in life with people when life's not good. But I can tell you, those who understand and have a faith that they know they've connected with God Almighty, and then you can see in them that they also have God Almighty, they are able to withstand life more than those who are not. It's an absolute just fact of observation that I've seen for the last 38 years. And by the way, we don't have it together all the time. I know that, and it's not about trying to be a do-gooder. It's about trying to say, come what may, I'm going to have peace in God. Colossians says this, Paul writes this to the church of Colossae. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. In other words, this isn't an external. This is something that is intrinsic. It's something that happens inside of you. It's emotional. It helps our daily stress level. And these are stressful times. And to be at peace with God and then to have the peace of God, it makes a huge difference. And I studied this week stress on our bodies. And I thought, I can't come with so much depressing news. I mean, from headaches to sickness to, you know, how many people statistically are more stressed out, and young people are radically stressed out, and then what we're trying to do to help with our stress and trying to cope with life. I thought, wow, we just need to talk about God, because God really wants to help. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. Practically, I thought about, Jim, how have you? We haven't always had good times, although I will say that Sharon and I look super cute today. She looks cute. I look better standing next to her. These are our new sweatshirts. I've been a pastor here over 15 years. I've never worn a sweatshirt on Sunday.
It looks great.
Oh, what a liar. Love you, Lord. Yeah. Next to Sharon, I look awesome. Okay, back to my notes. That's why I write notes. But practically, daily, how have I been able to cope? I've memorized these scriptures. You want help this week? I can help you right here and now. If your stress level's high, let me just help you right now. In Philippians, it says this, and this is just crazy talk. Don't worry about anything. Do you live in the same world that we do? Don't worry about anything. Have you driven during the midweek here? Have you been to the mall? Don't worry about anything. Okay. Instead, pray about everything. So here's what we normally do, and I'm going to categorize you with me. We panic. Oh, yeah, I forgot to pray. God. You can choose to panic and then pray, or you can begin to cultivate an attitude of prayer, and I promise you it will help with your panic. Listen to what it says. There's two things, tell and thank. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. God, this is where I'm at. This is where our finances are at. God, this is where our family's at. God, I have a crisis of faith right now. This is where I'm at. But it's not just about telling. It's about God. You are God. And I love showing that video because not only do we need the peace of God, His followers needed the peace of God. And Jesus was sleeping to help them understand that He has what it takes to calm the storm. And He can calm the storm in your heart. But you need to tell Him, God, this is where I'm at today. And God, I thank You that even though I don't know that I can see an out, You're God. And I'm going to believe You. And check out what this says. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. This is a promise that I have applied to my life for many, many years. Sometimes life is super hard, and we don't know what to do. And it doesn't mean that I'm weak when I say I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? You're like, I don't know what to do. This is beyond my scope. This is beyond anything that I can do. And the Bible says that God will guard your heart. Have you ever had your heart just shattered to pieces and then your mind is just going 1,000 miles an hour? That's the time you couldn't sleep at night. That's the time you panicked and finally you decided, well, maybe I should pray. I mean, we're all normal. It's not like I'm being, you're a normal human being just like I am. God's peace is beyond what we can understand. And His peace in the midst of trouble can guard our heart and can guard our mind. And now, dear brothers and sisters, Paul says one final thing. By the way, you already maybe know this, but maybe somebody doesn't. Paul is in prison when he's writing this. He's in a dirty, rotten prison, waiting execution. So he's writing this from prison, and he writes, "And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." This is huge. This is absolutely huge, because what we think causes a reaction to how we live. And I'm not talking about, well, I'm just going to pretend. I remember some years ago when the real like name it, kind of claim it, and you know, like, hey, I feel sick today. Don't claim it. Okay, I don't feel sick today, but I threw up. I don't know why. I mean, come on. Church people are goofy. I mean, I can say if I feel sick, I feel sick. It doesn't mean that I don't believe in Christ. You're like, oh, Jim, that's bad. No, it's not bad. Because you've never been with an elderly person who was telling me they're so sorry that they don't have enough faith in Christ to be healed. They do have enough faith in Christ, but here's some good news. You're not going to live forever on earth. I mean, Michael Jackson was supposed to be chronogenically frozen and then thawed out when they found the cure. Even he didn't make it. I have a hunch he had a little more money than you and me do. Where am I going with that? Back to my notes. But do you understand? We can be honest with the Lord. We don't have to pretend like, if I say I'm sick, he won't heal me. Ooh, I better say I'm well and throw up and say I'm even better. Come on. Be honest with God. But he says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And cute little babies. Listen to what he's saying here. He says, think about these things. If you choose to focus on everything that is negative, I can almost promise you the result. Even when life is terribly bad, you can focus on something that God has done that is good. Just because life is bad and just because life isn't going, so to speak, my way, doesn't mean that God is not a good God. Does not mean that God is not on the throne. And I mean during hard times, God is still good. But you have to focus. And I like what Paul says here in verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received. This is an ongoing thing. We don't just one day go, oh man, I've got the peace of God. Because sometime things are going to go to pieces. And then we need to come back to, okay, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell you where I'm at, and I'm going to be just brutally honest, and it's okay. But then I'm also going to thank you that you're God, and because you're God, you see this and you understand. And then I'm going to trust that the peace of God, which transcends comprehension, it's going to guard my heart in the midst of this moment, and it's going to guard my mind, and I'm going to receive your peace because I'm going to focus. I'm going to look intently on things that are praiseworthy, on things that are honorable and good, and I'm going to focus there. And then I'm going to keep practicing this. Even if you have the peace with God, doesn't mean you're always going to have the peace of God unless you practice. It's just true. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the peace of God will be with you. Oh, that we long for peace. It's not just the absence of pain or going somewhere that's fun. It's something that happens within. The word peace in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word, and you've heard this word maybe, shalom. It's kind of awkward. I mean, you know, I'm just like a normal person, and when somebody walks up, hey, shalom to you. Oh, you know Hebrew too? I hated Hebrew in college. I did not do well in Hebrew. did you take Hebrew and do well? If you did, I'm just like in awe of you. I didn't do well with language. But God still allowed me to be your pastor. I'm sorry. But Hebrew is not that thing. But I do know some Hebrew. And I mean, no, I don't. I mean, I know shalom is Hebrew. And it means more than just, hey, good day. It's talking about well-being. Like, well-being. It's not only happiness. It's not only harmony. It's the serenity that comes from knowing God. It's the peace of God that calms the storm. And many times, it's not the storm outside that we have to contend with. It's the storm inside. The storm that nobody sees when we come to church and we fought all the way here and we get in the building. Hi, how are you? Great. Great. I hate everything, but great. Right? We've done that. Yeah, you have little kids. Some of you are going, yeah, oh. God says, if you can catch this today, I don't want you to live miserably. I not only want to be part of your life, I want to be in you in such a way that it makes a difference. And there's another kind of peace. It's called peace with others. So peace with God, peace with myself, and then peace with others. It's relational peace. You want to strengthen your relationships? Get closer to God. You can't control the conduct of another person, but you can control your attitude, right? And as you're growing closer to God, it helps. And I can tell you this, the more you're out of whack with God, the more you're going to be out of whack with other people. The more and the further you are with God, I'll just be honest with you, the more cranky you are. It's just how we're wired. God wired us that way. And the world is not getting more peaceful. I mean, the world is in absolute turmoil. And why is that? Because we've chosen to, in theory, take God off the throne and put ourselves on the throne. Like we actually know better than God. Relational peace comes when we connect with God. And when you're right with God and things are right within you, it's much easier to deal with those around you. When I'm not where I need to be with God, it's harder to deal with people around me. It's harder for people to deal with me. It's true. I wrote it this way. When I have peace with God and the peace of God in me, it actually helps me feel better. And when I feel better about me, the more I can reach out and love you. Jesus said, you know what's super important? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Then love others as you love yourself. But if you don't love yourself, it's really hard to love others. And the way that you love yourself is to get connected with God and realize that He loves you on your very worst day. And there's nothing you can do to gain His love. Because He loves you that much right now, no matter what you do, He will not stop loving you the most He's ever going to love you. It's right now. And the root cause of much of our problems is that we think we know better than God. We think we can do it better than God, and so we walk outside of His will, and when we walk outside of His will, we're going to get whacked. And when that happens, then we even get mad at God. Like, God, what are you doing? It's like, time out. I'm doing everything I did before. Like, I created the world. I allowed my son to die. But you've kind of chosen to be the CEO of your own life. Isaiah writes this, another part of just beautiful scriptures. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the path you should follow. Oh, that you had listened to my commands. Then you would have had peace, flowing like a gentle river, and righteousness rolling over you like the waves in the sea. Well, let me sum up everything I'm trying to say today in one sentence. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to give peace on earth and goodwill to men. There's a verse that I love this verse. It's just such a great verse, and Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest." That's the peace of God. "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." It's not physical rest. It's intrinsic. It's inside of you rest, and that matters. I mean, we do so many things to try to find rest. We go to a movie, we'll exercise, we'll have a hobby, we'll take a vacation. None of these things are bad. I like every one of them. They're all good things for physical restoration, but they're not going to restore your spirit. They're not going to help your soul. It's so much deeper than that. And when you're empty, and that's how many people live, empty, our culture says, hey, you just need to move. Just need to move on. Hey, you just need to get this. Hey, if you grab that gadget, your life's going to be so much better. And Jesus says, you know, you don't need more necessarily. Do you mind just coming to me? And in the midst of your panic, why don't we start by prayer? Why don't we start by telling and thanking? Why don't we start by allowing just a moment for him to capture our heart and our mind with his goodness? The antidote to an unwound life is not a time management program. It's not a philosophy by Tiny Buddha or Oprah. It's not an escape. It's not a new and now I've got a better plan. It's a person. It's a person, and he was born in a manger, and he was born for you and me that he might die for you and me, and you don't have to work your way up to coming to him. He says, come to me exactly as you are. All right, let me wrap things up. Here's the best way I can say it this morning. Come to Jesus, make him your Savior. Connect with Jesus. You were never meant to go through this life on your own, bearing everything that comes our way. Grow with Jesus daily. Serve him as your Lord. It will help in dealing with those around you. And keep working on what I'm saying. Isaiah says, talking about God, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And this is kind of where the rubber meets the road in life. This is so nicely put down on a piece of paper, but to really do this, it takes work. But would you rather work at trying to know God and having peace in your heart, or work at trying to pick up the pieces and try to make everything that won't work, work? Anyone who's going to tell you that truly following Christ is easy is not telling you the truth. Just look at the lives of his followers. It was never easy. Peter was martyred. Paul was killed. John was exiled. I mean, I can go on. John the Baptist was beheaded. Well, that's not a friendly Christmas thought. But they had a hope that is much greater than anything we can see here on earth. It's the gift of peace. The Prince of Peace came at Christmas. And God wants you to have that peace. I don't want to make it kind of hokey, but I kind of wrote down a prayer. And maybe if you were to be just gut honest this morning, you'd say, I'm kind of weighing the scales. A lot of pieces dragging me down, or lots of peace. And if you were to say, I got the pieces part like super good. You don't have to like repeat anything after me or anything like that. But if you could just in your mind say, hey, Lord, add me to that prayer. That's why Jesus came. Not as some obscure, ambiguous, like, oh, if I could just reach there. Or if I could just grab that. Oh. No. He said, let me reach. Let me reach into you. Tell me what's going on. Thank me that I'm God. Trust me that I can do way more than you think I can, just like those guys on that boat we saw. I'd have freaked out. All right, let's pray together. God, I need your help. I come to you and I want to connect with you. I need to be sure I have a relationship with you. And then I want to continue in relationship with you. Not only to help me view myself, but to help me in relationship with others. I'm asking for the peace of God to be in me, to work through me. And God, I lift up the things going on right now. The pieces that are broken and the shattered things in life. I just have to give them to you. I've taken them for too long. God, I pray your peace, which surpasses our own comprehension, our own cognition, our own understanding, that your peace, that we could sense your peace right now, that would guard our hearts and our minds. We'd be totally honest with you, let you know where we're at, and let your peace guard us. And then, Lord, would you remind us to practice this, to practice truly trusting you and believing you. In your name we pray, amen. By the way, on your way out, here's a cool little hope invite for our Christmas Eve service. We're already preparing for it, and I think it's going to be a great service. And do you know how people come to church when you invite them? I always put these in the mailboxes. And you're like, is that illegal? I don't know. But I put them in my neighbor's mailboxes, and we've had neighbors come. So grab these on your way out, and just let me remind you, I love y'all. Appreciate you coming today. Look forward to seeing you next time.